Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We got the friends with benefits.
With Tash York
and Betty Bombshell.
Hello and welcome to Friends with Benefits, Hello. The drunken dressing room shenanigans with some of the best cabaret, burlesque, circus, and what the fuck are they doing performers from all around the world. My name is Tash York, and I am hosting this with the one and only Miss Betty Bombshell.
Woo! Hey, mate. How you doing? How's the tricks?
Oh, yeah, pretty good. You know, just hanging out in my isolation glitter station, you know, just getting on by, allowed to see one other person not from my household outside. Now it's pretty fucking wild Girl, here in Melbourne.
You are moving up. I was going to say,
No. What's that? Sorry.
No, I loved it. It was a dance party improv.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you're allowed out of your little isolation station over there for like a 2 hours time now, aren't you?
2 hours. Yep. Doubled our parole time. So that's pretty cool. And it's been a nice time. It's been really sunny here, which is very odd for Melbourne in September. Normally you get back from Edinburgh Fringe and it's still just like winter, like, and it's not a good time. But this year it's been wonderful, which has been so great because we've really been able to utilize it, you know, to its max.
So fucking salty.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine. I got wine. It's so fine.
Yeah. You got wine. You got a glitter curtain. Bitch, okay. It's going to be all right, okay? That's fine. What else have you been up to? Have you been outside? Have you been using your electric scooter? I'm still not over that you bought that. Like, I'm still not past it.
Okay.
You both have electric scooters, and it's honestly all I want to see.
I don't actually understand how you don't realize that this would be happening. Okay. Because first of all, we got...
But they're so expensive.
No, they're not. They're like semi... Okay. They're pretty expensive. They were like $600 a piece. They're $600 a piece. Yeah. But we just used our bond money. So it didn't matter. Like, it was just like, you know what? We got the bond money back and we were like...
Home owner.
We were just like, you know what? Fuck it. Because we don't have a car now, right? So, like, getting to Bunnings is like a 2.3-kilometer walk. Not that we can go to Bunnings at the moment, but when we can, it's a 2.3-kilometer walk, right? So, if you've got a backpack, you've got your electric scooter, it's good for the environment. You're not getting in an Uber with some random person. You know, you can stop off at the pub on the way. Like, it's just such a convenient mode of transportation.
Are you allowed to drink and ride? Is that allowed?
I feel like it's the same as like a car or a bike. Like, so, you know, you're supposed to be at like a legal level. But like, I'm pretty sure people ride their bikes pissed all the time. So, I mean, not that I'm condoning that. But, you know, I probably
But if you do it, we, back, like. I mean, you know, I mean, I'll probably.
Nah, you know, it takes a certain level of skill to ride a scooter, even an electric one at that.
A skill that you don't yet have, I'm assuming.
I do. Adelaide Fringe. Remember? Right, remember the Lime Scooter Life?
The Lime Scooter Life. Do you know what? I did not get on one of those scooters.
Are you fucking kidding me? What?
Okay. All right. You know how clumsy I am. Like, I'm just walking down the street and I will just fall. You know, I just
You're not walking. You're just standing. You're just standing and it's moving for you. Right, you're not even doing it anymore.
You got me there. That's good.
And you can bring all your props with you. You can have your fucking burlesque fans in there, your fucking like 10 other costumes, just chiffon behind. Yeah. The only
just like
issue.
100 days, 100
nights. The only issue is the wig situation with the helmet. It's like,
that actually, that's why I never got on one because I was like, now I've done my hair. Fuck
yeah.
That.
Yeah. Whereas mine looked like a train wreck anyway, so it didn't really fucking matter. It was just like, oh, more.
Maybe the helmet actually. Enhanced it. Maybe you should wear that as part of your hair now.
Everyone's like, I love your beehive. I was like, oh, it's just a straight pony. That's cool. Don't worry about it. It's from Gamer. So yeah,
I brought it at 7-Eleven.
And then walking, obviously. I've been doing Step-tember, raising money and awareness for cerebral palsy. So trying to do 10,000 steps a day, which is really hard within 1 hour. But now I've got 2 hours, so it's like, it's been sweet as so far.
You just
raised,
like, stand in your house just walking.
The other night literally I was 500 like steps off.
I can see it.
500 steps off just before bed.
Did you do it?
Kev, I've got to do 500 more steps. I just started walking around the bed in a square and he was like, this is really, really attractive. He was like, here you go. And I just took my pants off. I was like, is that better? Stuff. Like, yeah. So what have you been doing?
Gorgeous.
What's been happening?
What have I been doing?
Yeah.
I've been up to Perth is popping. Perth is like getting into weird summertime as well. I got sunburnt. I know that's not very shocking.
What?
But
really? So the sun was out for longer than 20 minutes? That's crazy.
See, this is a cardigan. This is actually just my skin. I'm wearing a burgundy cardigan.
For those who can't see her, she's wearing a burgundy cardigan.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's an aura. No, it's been tippy tops, been doing lots of teaching. There's still shows happening. Weirdly gearing up for like a Perth Fringe time, which is
so good.
It's very bizarre to be like, yeah, you know, Perth Fringe, but everyone is just watching from afar. It's a fucking weird vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I've been asked to be a booker for a show that's gonna happen in Perth, but the producer's like elsewhere. It's all very strange. And I was like, okay, I guess you're not here to see.
You're like a mule of talent, you know, like just a drug mule of talent. You're like, man, I can source this and talent. Yeah, you're the inside.
I'm like a cartel.
Hey, bombshell. Miss Burlesque Australia, mule of talent.
Mule of talent.
Podcaster.
Fuck the other titles. Mule of talent, podcaster. That's good. I think that really wraps me up nicely.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Very sunburnt at the end.
Very sunburnt. Perth, WA.
Perth, fuck you. Yeah, great. Great, great,
great. Yeah, great, great, great. And now it's time for Friendly News to Benefit Yous.
The Adelaide Fringe will deliver a huge boost to South Australian artists and venues with the announcement of $500,000 in grants to assist them in their planning for the 2021 season. Grant applications for South Australian artists and producers from all genres and disciplines are now open and close on the 21st of October. Applications will be assessed on a rolling basis upon submission until all funds are exhausted. So get in there, get your money, South Australia, and make sure if you're out of South Australia that you pop in a registration for the festival, which runs from the 19th of February to the 21st of March 2021. And in news for the Melbourne Fringe, it's starting again this November against all odds, and they're presenting a boundary-pushing program of experimental digital art and including some of the first in-person events in Melbourne post-COVID lockdown. Fingers crossed, as long as those St Kilda people didn't fuck it up. Anyway, with a digital festival launch on the 20th of October, the Fringe will be hosting a bevy of live-streamed and in-person events right from their hub at Trades Hall. It's all under embargo right now, but we're pretty sure you'll see a few familiar faces presenting work. Shh, it's not me. It's definitely me.
Oh, that was very informative. Thank you so much. I feel wiser. I feel rich in knowledge.
Good, you should. Yes, indeed. Miss Betty Bombshell, we have a very excellent guest in our midst right now. And I'm absolutely bloody thrilled to be introducing this next performer. Are you excited, Betty? Are you bloody excited?
I'm so fucking excited. I tell you what, girl.
I'm so excited to bring on this guest. She's an established Melbourne, Australian, statewide, world, global icon as the Queen of Corporate. You know, she often lives alone with her budgie Dante and enjoys tax time, office space, bonding activities, office invoice, eye carving, and a fucking incredible, amazing drag queen to boot. Can we please give it up for the one and only Karen from Finance?
Yes, Karen.
Yes. The financials are in the house.
Tell you what, tax time is coming early.
Hi, lovers. I'm really well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here with your little gorgeous, bubbly personalities. Let's have a blast. Here we go.
Yes, let's do it. I know everyone thinks we're normally this happy, but this is just podcast stuff. You know, this is just our.
Yeah, I think because we know that we're just going to be spending time with an absolutely awesome performer and then also drinking wine. It's like our happy place, you know, doing the podcast. Literally, even if we are all in separate locations, it doesn't matter.
I know. No, we're really across the globe, aren't we? Mostly just Australia, but we're really across the globe today.
We're across the... Yeah, well, you know what? That's the thing with these Zooms and these podcasts. They make you global and they make you forget the fact that your career's in the shitter and that all of your things are in storage and you're doing a podcast with two of your besties in the spare room at your parents' house in Cranbourne.
Yeah. Kicking
goals. Fucking Cranbourne. There you go. You're residing in Cranny. Ooh, love it.
That's right. But, you know, I sit here in front of my green screen with my pixelated digital background and my lovely, you know, faux AliExpress recording equipment. I'm just living the Melbourne dream.
Honestly, if you're not doing that, you're not living the Melbourne dream, because that's the only way to communicate with motherfuckers that outside your 5K bubble. Like, that's it.
Yeah. That's it. That's 100%. Those who don't adapt, they will fail. So you know what? We're all doing it.
We're all bloody doing it. So how's your Corona coaster been so far, Karen? What's been the hippity haps ever since Lady Rona made herself part of our lives?
I'm living the dream. I'm having the time of my life. You know, I'm learning about myself. I'm learning about the suburbs of Melbourne.
Just the ones in your 5K though. Just those ones.
That's it.
Oh, I'm exercising more than ever.
I know. It's wild.
Not really. I mean, I used to never, ever exercise, but now I do go for a one-hour walk. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, the extent of my exercise was either A, getting out of bed in the morning, which sometimes didn't happen, or B, it was just like sweating in a corset on stage. That was enough for me.
Honestly, is a lot of exercise. Betty, you know, I've taken you out of those motherfuckers before. I was going to
say. Just that. That's just the closest peeling off my supple body. I am the Fat Blaster. That's what I'm going to rename myself. Yeah, that's it.
You know those things that like they make your body warm and they're like, yeah, that'll get rid of all the fat. It's like, nah, bitch, wear 100%. A fucking wig and a corset and you'll be fucking fat blasting away.
You know, I actually used to have one of those.
Did you? Did it work?
Yes. About 12 years ago, I bought one from the shopping mall, and it was like it was like a strap that you wrapped around your stomach, mm-hmm. and you plugged it in, and it shook you. And the idea was that it shook the fat off of you. I don't know how it was supposed to work. Anyway,
I was shook.
It said you can only use it for a maximum of 10 minutes at any one time.
That's so
and
concerning.
So I used to I did it for a little bit, but then after maybe a month, like it was not working, nothing was happening. I was like, this is bollocks. I'm gonna do it for longer. And so after every 10 minutes when it shut itself off, I would turn it back on again. Yeah. And I got up to 50. I did 50 minutes. I was feeling fine. And I was in that next lot of 10 that would take me to 60. Instant nausea.
Oh.
Instant nausea. I never touched the thing. It made me so sick. Oh, so sick.
What? Oh my God.
So when you say it's shaking you, is it how shook are you during this process? Is it like a little, just a teeny vibration, or are you feeling it? You're feeling like lava lamp.
Did your parents, or like anyone you know when you're growing up, have one of those, like, it looked like a treadmill, but you wrap like a rubber band around your waist and that shakes your body?
Yes.
It was like a modern version of that.
Yeah,
what do you call those machines?
I don't even know.
I think I know the one you mean, but my dad
always
have
them in
one.
Shopping centers, and you're like, oh, cool. Yeah, what a great way
rattle, like, you know.
what a good way to sell it to people, just watching them be jellyfish at a fucking shopping center. Like, yeah, I'll definitely get this one. Yeah, that's it.
Expose the flabby parts of your body that you didn't even know were there.
Make yourself hate yourself that much that you actually go be on a diet. Like, it's incredible.
Even more.
Yeah, I love that.
That's what it is. It's the reflection when upon the vibrating machine that you're like, fuck, I got to sort this shit out. And then that's it. That's how you lose the weight. That's amazing.
Right. That's a terrifying story.
I was just watching Kath and Kim, and she uses the Fat Blaster all the time. And just I know it's like those little pads, just vibrating very slightly. I mean, do that actually.
In theory, if only it worked.
Oh, no. So, Karen, we thought we'd start any good work party the way that, you know, it normally should start. And that is with a bit of a game of Never Have I Ever. And in this particular version, if you have done the thing, we're going to get you to not only take a sip of your drink, but we're also going to get you to do a little buzzer sound. So have you had a thought about what your buzzer sound might be for this particular game?
I might do a donkey noise, something like this. Is that
nice.
Does that hurt the microphone? Nice. Does that damage the listener's ears?
Nice,
okay, great.
Moss. Yeah, really good, really good.
It was music. No, that was gorgeous.
Betty Bombshell?
So if I have, I'm going to do Eeyore and then drink.
Yep. And then drink. Okay. Yeah. The drinking's just, you know, the sidebar to us just being a bit more tizzy by the end of the game. But, you know, like, who doesn't love that? Who doesn't love it?
It's everyone's intention.
Game. Exactly.
I never get to play these. All right. My buzzer is going to be, I'm going to say Fat Blaster. That's going to be that's it. Yep.
Great. And I might finish that with a vomit. So let's just.
What?
Very well rounded.
A vomit.
Is that vomit. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's like a combo of what I'm going to do at the end of this podcast and mm-hmm. also as a result of using the Fat Blaster and a donkey kicking me. So it's all the things.
You know what? You've really beautifully laced that together. That was gorgeous. That really was. That was something.
Heal the world.
Let's play the game.
Sorry, I've been watching. UFC with Kev because he made me watch it on the weekend and he put a bet on and I said that if he wins the bet that he has to spend that money of the bet that he won on an outdoor setting for our balcony. And I watched UFC, the person won, and now I'm getting an outdoor setting for our balcony. I've never been so proud of you. So the guy who announces everything, he's the same as he's the brother of the Let's Get Ready to Rumble guy from boxing. You know that? Let's Get Ready to Rumble.
What?
He's the brother.
Yeah. Wow. He's the brother. What a gifted family.
He's always like, it's time. And everything he announces just like, we're going to play a game today of Never Have I Ever. Like, it's great. I'm obsessed.
Imagine living at home with him and like he made dinner and he was letting you know dinner was ready. It would be so good. So good.
Do you reckon he does it at home?
The family for Christmas, both brothers just outdoing themselves.
Wow.
Just announcing. Yes.
That's gorgeous.
So good.
We should get him on the podcast next to see if he talks like that all the time.
I think that's a really good crossover, UFC and Friends with Benefits. I think that's really good. You know, our listeners will really appreciate it. You know, he is in the arts. I mean, he is. He's an announcer.
It's true. We like to try new things as well. We're just trying to bring everyone together. That's it.
All right. First question. Never have I ever. Never have I ever lied to get a gig. Yes, hit us up. What's your story?
Well,
I'm just drinking anyway, I just love listening.
Let me drink.
Yeah.
Well, but not a vicious lie.
I'm not going to do that to myself.
But or am I? No, I'm not going to do that to myself. But of course, I'm sure we've all done it. We've like said, if someone said, "Hey, do you have like experience doing this? Can you do this?" It's like, well, no, I've never done that before. But will I do it for you? Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think I've done it like where I used to have a skill, but I haven't really updated that skill in a number of years. And so it's still just like on my resume. And they're like, you can tap dance. I was like, yeah, musical theater, 7.5 So like,
just dash your tapping away on stage.
I used to be very good at musical theater school. Have I worn my tap shoes since the end of 2013? Absolutely not. Like, not even one bit.
So, yeah, but it doesn't mean it's not a skill that you have.
That's why I didn't say it was a lie, but it's not a current skill.
It's not a current skill.
We just haven't got the update, you know? We haven't installed the update yet.
Yeah, I'm on like Windows 2. Like, you know, it's just been a while.
Just two. That's it. You know, that's one piece of advice my mother gave me. I think it's the only piece of advice my mother gave me. It might be the only
waiting for that.
Spoken to me, actually. But she said, you know what, just if you can't do something, tell him you can and figure it out later. And that's exactly
good advice.
That is good.
That is
very good advice.
And also, I'd like to take an opportunity to reverse that as well. Have we ever lied to not do a gig? Like in terms of like, oh, yes. Hi. My company or my friends and I are interested in booking you for this. And I just say, oh, sorry, I'm not offering that service at the moment.
Sorry. I don't do drugs.
100%.
I'm getting like a COVID template at the moment. Hi, would you like to host this thing online for my 700-person employee company trivia bingo at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday? Like, absolutely not. I'm not available. I don't offer that service.
I'm never available again. That's not it for me. Absolutely not. Ugh, yucky.
Goodness me. All right. Never have I ever forgotten my lines. vomit.
I mean, damn. I have to say yes. I have to say yes. I would be doing myself a disservice to say that I always remember.
I remember everything.
Oh, but it's more like, I guess because I, you know, my talk on a microphone and on stage is more so ad-libbed rather than like a theatrical script. It's like, have I ever said the wrong thing on stage? Absolutely all the time. Actually, one of them I remember, it wasn't really a bad thing, but the crowd was vicious. I was in Perth and I was at Connections and I was hosting, I think I was hosting for a Trixie Mattel show. And I was trying to like rev the crowd up in an intermission. And I was like, oh, we've got, you know, this drag queen coming next month. We've got this drag queen coming later in the year. And I was like, being a Trixie show, let's finish with Katia, you know? So I was like, and then in December, Katia's coming. And the crowd booed me because she was not coming. She was coming to every city except her. And I've never had the audience turn on me so hard. It was vicious. Like I had to leave the stage. It was not good. It was not cute.
Wow. Baby, that's
a
so
Connections
sad.
Audience is a fierce audience as
vicious,
well.
Vicious. Very rightly snappy. So. They deserve it, you know, but
you're
vicious.
Like, I'm from Melbourne. True. I'm sorry. And now it's like, they're like, yeah, who the fuck's coming to Perth now? Everyone. Coming to Melbourne. Stuffed in. Remember that Karen from finance? Like, it's like, sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, that would have been.
That would have been so hard. I've announced the wrong person before. I've done that. Like, I announced someone as their half government name and then the last name of the next act coming up.
It's a new duo number.
It was Malachi Frost and I announced him as Kieran, which is his government name, and Malone, which is Adam Malone, the next act's surname.
Oh, it's almost as bad as when you don't remember their name full stop and you're like, coming up next is
an amazing performer.
They're right.
In my trick
here.
There, I always just get so excited in like talking them up that when it comes time to actually pronounce their name, I am so high pitched and squealing that no one can understand what I say. And yes, coming up next, the world famous, the absolutely incredible.
I'm like, get that round of applause going. Start cheering. Oh, my God. Here they come. And just run off the stage.
And then run.
Just leave. This is great. I'm jotting this down. This is helpful MC tips.
You're welcome, everyone.
I love that. Just like.
Also, Tash York and Karen from Finance are never getting a hosting gig ever again after this.
Absolutely.
So. I mean, are we allowed to leave our state forever after this? I mean, who knows? We'll just be hosting each other. We'll know each other's names.
We've got a great online trivia night you can host, though, if you're available. Ah, so, yeah.
700 people.
Proc 700 people. Approx. Yeah, great.
Great. Such good internet connection.
I am not currently offering this service at this time.
Due to Mama, I'll email you next week. Yeah, I'll double check.
Fucking mule at it again. All right, so.
Again. That's just my name now.
I'm so about it. All right. Last one is, never have I ever had unexpected bodily fluids on stage.
This is such a disgusting question.
Never have I ever had bodily fluids accidentally on stage?
As in, like, just we didn't want them around and then they happened. Like,
what do you mean? Like, was I halfway through a spot number and then came? Like,
maybe. I don't know.
Oh, actually, maybe I can give it as something to this. But it wasn't real bodily fluids, but it was like a prop representing bodily fluids.
Perfect. Yeah.
Perfect.
Full stop, you know?
I hate to be that bitch, but I'm going to do another Drag Race reference.
Please.
I do remember. So it was like, I think it was the second time I ever worked with a Drag Race girl. It was Pearl. From season 7.
Yes.
And I was told by the promoter that I needed to play and come up with like an audience interaction game to like buy time and extend the show. And I was like, oh God, well, why don't I get a, why did I think this? I was like, why don't I get myself a bottle of mayonnaise and invite audience members from the audience to come up on stage and give the mayonnaise to Pearl and she can give them a pearl necklace.
That is a hilarious idea.
That's so good.
She didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on. We got four people from the audience, and she must have thought I was ridiculous. But next minute,
she's ridiculous. It would have been fine.
Splashing mayonnaise all over these like audience members who are loving it. But meanwhile, I'm in like stilettos trying to prance up and down the stage hosting this, and I slipped in the mayonnaise and threw my microphone into the audience, which hit someone in the head. So I guess that's like coming on stage. I guess that's coming on stage, right?
Yes, that is. It's like the drag equivalent of coming on stage.
Thought that was going to go down the like line of like, and someone was lactose intolerant and like went to hospital.
Same. With
like,
lactic shock or
something. I just 100% threw your microphone
off the stage. I was ass over tit.
Someone got a smack in the head. There's pearl necklaces happening. This sounds like an after party, honestly.
It really does.
No, honey, it was the maid show.
Jesus, what happened to the party?
That is gorgeous. I think that definitely is the best answer to that question.
100%.
Love that. 100%.
Love it.
Well, there you go. I'm glad I could provide. Thank you for bringing that memory up, actually.
No, this is what we aim to achieve here at the Friends with Benefits podcast. Yes.
No, that's it. We're just bringing terrible memories back or hilarious ones.
One terrible, hilarious memory at a time.
That's how people describe us. Beautiful. So, Karen from Finance, my love, we want to know, we being Tash and I and our millions of listeners everywhere across
divide
the globe.
Divide that by 20 million.
And then you can get the actual the times something by. Equals pi. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, how did you get started in drag? How did you get started in the biz?
Well, I got started in the biz, I guess like circumstantially. I didn't like mean to get into it, but before I was a drag performer, was such, and still am, such a huge fan of burlesque. I ran a bar in Fitzroy, the Black Cat, and which was right around the corner from Burlesque Bar, of which I'm sure you would remember. And I used to, at the end of every shift, every weekend, I would go there religiously. I loved it. And I remember sitting in the audience, you know, night after night with a martini in one hand, watching the girls on stage in sequin gowns, dancing around to other people's music. And I was like, wow, I wish I could do something like this.
Yes.
I was obsessed. It was just magic to me. It was absolute magic. It still is. And you know, fast forward, like, through my hazy party years, all of a sudden one day I was like doing drag and got asked to do a show, and I was like, oh, hang on, I guess I'm like doing that thing that I used to fantasize about.
Yeah.
And it was kind of at that point that I realized what was going on, that I started taking it a bit more seriously, I guess. It truly was, my inspiration was the burly scene.
And that's, I really so want to know is, like, have you ever actually worked in finance before? Like, I mean, I know you do, but where did the finance equivalent come from?
Well, the finance started off, I mean, it is a gag still, obviously, but it like it was never based off anything. It was actually...
I've always wanted to ask you this. I was like, did you used to be some like fucking like payroll bitch that was just like, fuck you all. Like, I'm going to drag this motherfucker up. Like, is this based on a person you know? I'm obsessed. Please tell.
It's like a joke that came out. I mean, the finance bit came off of, I named myself kind of off of like a dress that I found at the op shop. I found this dress. A couple of us found these gaudy 80s prom dresses at the Selvos, and we bought them and wore them to a house party. You know, without being in drag, we just wore dresses, and we were wasted, and we started coming up with the characters for who would have, like the women who would have bought the dresses when they were brand new. Yeah. And I decided that the lady who bought my dress was called Karen, and she was middle-aged, very lonely, worked in an office, like, and yeah, so that was like Karen from finance. So when I did drag for the first time, I'd never thought of coming up with a drag name, I guess. Then I was asked, who are you? And that was the memory that came to mind. I was like, oh, I'm Karen from finance. It was stupid. Yeah. I mean, it's dumb. Like, that's not a drag name. It's not any name.
No,
but it's perfect. It's perfect.
I heard that that same party, I was, again, super wasted, dancing on a dining room table, whatever hour in the morning. And I overheard someone say, who's that? Like, on the table. And the response that the person I asked gave them was, oh, that's Karen from finance. when I heard that for the first time, I was like, oh, okay, we got to roll with this. So this I've never really worked in finance. This is a gag that went well, but it's like a gag that I've always feel like I need to learn more about. Like, I don't know how I've made it this far, still just like whinging about archiving invoices. Like, I don't know. I need more content, you know?
You know why? Because that's honestly all of us know about finance. That is the level that everybody knows about finance. So you're an expert.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other side of it, is that anytime someone's like, who are you? And I say, oh, I'm Karen from finance. They're like, oh my God, that's so funny. Do you do this and this and this and this and this? And I'm like, yes, that's yes, what my character's based off of. And they're like, oh my God, you're hilarious.
Like,
thank you.
No work required. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that has kind of like, that's kind of been the premise of all these years. It's so weird. It's so fun. It's so much fun to play with. I feel so lucky that I had that one drunken night on the garbage bins out the back of someone's house in Fitzroy that I didn't know.
That's where all my best memories come from, to be honest.
Honestly. So,
yeah, you know.
That's where I was born, you know. That's absolutely it. It's right there. I love that. So when you had your, to quote your hazy party days, and then you started to take it a little more seriously, what happened there? What happened for you? How did you take it more seriously? What was the next step?
Well, I feel like it was a culmination of a couple of things. One, I was really overwhelmed with how people were receiving what, like, I was putting out there, and I was really able to like call on, like, you know, cult like films and things that I love, like the movie 9 to 5 and the whole premise behind, you know, like equality in the workplace and like the politics of all that kind of, all that kind of hysteria that goes really well with the character Karen from Finance. Mm. I was really inspired. I was like, oh, there's something solid here. But then at the same time, I was really liberated by the art of drag and enamored with it. I loved the freedom that came with, you know, being a completely different made up person. I loved the artistry that came with drag. I loved the fact that I had somehow kind of like falsified a way into like the performing arts scene. Like, all of a sudden, all of these people that I, you know, the scene that I'd enamored for years and years and years, I was like, I'm working with and performing with, and I have things. I was like, this is amazing.
I'm doing it.
Yeah. So I felt like there's a lot of fun to be had here, that I can do something with this. Like, I can make a difference. I can highlight political issues, and I can be part of a change, and I can have so much fun doing it.
Mm. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. That's beautiful. So cool. I love that.
So,
I mean, that's,
oh yeah. So you go.
No, I was going to say, that is one of the wonderful things I think about like progressing in this kind of arts community. We've all got sort of our different like angles that we're involved with, is that you can start to do those things. When you really get in there, you can start to be that sort of louder voice that is making change, or being political, or, you know, starting a conversation. I think that's the wonderful thing about the arts, really. I'm getting quite deep, aren't I?
No, you're absolutely right. And it's not like, I mean, not some people set out to be political in their art, of course. Mm-hmm. I never like made that conscious decision. It's just that when you're given like a, I don't know whether you want to call it a platform or an opportunity, it's what you choose to do with it.
Yeah.
And I think that my eyes really opened up to those opportunities when I started doing it. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. How could I say no?
Absolutely.
That's incredible.
It's tantalizing, isn't it?
It's yeah. so good.
Mm, that's yummy. Oh,
that's part of the addiction as well. Like, we've spoken about that a number of times. Is
always
that, like,
talk
it's,
about that.
Oh, the addiction. But, like, you know, you get to be up on stage. You get to be living your best life in whatever way that you choose, through whatever lens and whatever costume, whatever song. And, you know, it's just a way to express yourself through these things that you've always adored. And now you're somehow part of it, which is just, like, so wonderfully beautiful at the same time. So
totally,
it really is.
It's like when you, I mean, I remember studying media in like high school and watching films and being taught how to interpret like the themes and their metaphors within film. And I remember sitting there thinking, there is no way that this bitch who made this movie thought, oh, if I put a black curtain in the background, someone's going to think that symbolizes this and mean this. Like, there is no way. But now, like, as a performer, I get to, like, you know, create something that I think is beautiful for my own reasons. And then someone else can say, oh, I really loved how you did this and it made me feel this way and made me think about this. I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to do that, but that's what art is, you know?
Yeah, but I love it. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the wonderful thing. I was actually talking about this the other day, that art or storytelling is essentially just like the passing on of something. And once you've created that thing, somebody else then interprets it their own way and then passes it on, and it creates this giant conversation whether you wanted it to or not. Yeah. And I think that's just such a wonderful kind of trickle down effect, which none of us really, as you just said, you never really planned that big, you know, like to be like, well, that rose in the front corner is going to point towards blah. But it does for some people.
Yeah.
You're totally right. And I don't know what this conversation about the addiction was, but to me, that's what the addiction of performing is. It's everything.
I didn't know you explained that well. Yeah.
Oh my God, you make me miss it so much.
I know. I messaged Tash the other week, I think it was last week, and I was actually watching on Stan the Work the World, like, interviews and tour and stuff like that. I legitimately started crying because I was like, I just missed my tour friends in it. They were like, backstage, on stage, in the bus, on the plane, blah, blah, blah. I was like, Tasha, I can't do this. I literally replied.
And I was like, yeah, I stopped watching it like weeks ago. I was not coping. Like, I was just not coping at all.
I think I watched the first episode of that, like, when it came out, when we all were performing and working. And I was like, oh, this is trash. I'm never going to watch this. And then, like, fast forward to, like, 2 months into lockdown, and I'm, like, laying in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, my partner's asleep, and I'm crying, watching it, being like, this is the best, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I miss my life.
Tyler, this is the best show that is on the internet ever. Yes, 100%.
People just don't understand.
I'm so glad they know now. Yeah, exactly. They actually don't.
Honestly, seeing the queens complain about conditions, I was like, you don't even know, because this was filmed last year and we don't even know. I was like, man, what I'd kill to be locked in a disabled toilet getting ready again.
Kill for it.
Picking jewelry out from the dunny and wearing it on stage 3 minutes after. That is the life.
At least it was clean, you know, at least it was clean.
Yes, shiny, glossy.
That's it. Got that sparkle. That's it. All right, we have a follow-up question, which slides nicely after that one. Socks and slides nicely after it. So we want to know, what are your best and worst gigs, or your most memorable and your maybe least favorite moment, or just something that was the most ridiculous time that you're like,
sure.
Share this with you.
Well, let's start with the best one, right?
Yeah. Okay, great. Love it.
The best thing that I've ever done was a few years ago, I got asked to perform at the very last rally for marriage equality that we had before the postal vote happened in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. The rally drew over 20,000 people to Swanston Street at the front of the State Library. And I'm not much of a sewer. I can use a machine and I, you know, but this day I was like, I'm really going to make something cool. And I made this like floor length gown that was like hot pink, but also had like a cartoon post box on the front.
Yes.
With a big.
I remember. I was there and I was like, yes!
You were there? Yeah.
Yes!
It had a big. In big blue letters across the boobs, it said yes, with like an envelope and an arrow into the post box. Yeah. And I got up on stage and performed Lily Allen's Fuck You to to the and I dedicated it to the government, and yes. I had the entire crowd singing along with their fingers up in the air on the chorus, and it was like the most exhilarating experience of my entire life.
That
it was
amazing. Cry, don't. That sounds. That is. Wow.
That's so fun.
Incredible. It was like that whole day, like everyone just kept coming up on stage and then someone else would do something. And I was like, oh my God, I can't handle it. Like I was a mess by the end of that rally. Like just everyone kept coming up and I was like, oh my God, we've got so many feelings. Just let us fucking like what are you
so
doing?
Many emotions. Well,
back
that
when
is
we could
incredible.
Have rallies where we could touch each other and cry Remember? And do that. Like, fuck. Oh, that is such an amazing.
Get ugly cry and make out.
Oh, such a good ugly cry. Yes.
Ugly cry. Yes. Especially in full face.
Oh, of course.
So that, nothing better.
That's my number one. That's my Fuck number yeah. one that memory of one. Performing. Mm-hmm. My least favorite is it's really awkward. It was my debut solo show out of office. I debuted about actually exactly 12 months to the day.
Congratulations.
And thank you. It was the final show. It was an international tour. I did New Zealand as well as Australia. La-di-da.
Yes,
so the final show was in Auckland, right? And there's one scene where there's a little bit of audience participation. I basically pull up an audience member to play my love interest, a truck driver named Big Rig 69. And the way the scene rolls... of course, why not?
Yeah,
so I dress this person in like a flannelette and a trucker's cap and then Correct. Give them cue cards and say, we're going to have like a pre-written conversation. And every time I ask you a question and put the microphone in front of your face, you just need to read what's on the card and we'll go from there.
Perfect.
Easy. Yep. Easy, right?
So easy.
And so it had been going really well all tour. And then the final night, I got this guy up on stage, dressed him up. He looked lovely. And... I explained what was going on and someone in the audience yelled out, Guru! And I ignored them as you do and carried on and they kept going, Guru, Guru! And I thought, oh, goodness me. Tried to shut it down and be funny. But then this whole group of people started yelling, Guru! And someone stood up from the audience and walked on stage. And I, you know, got really snarky and like shaded him and like told him to get off.
Yeah.
And he whispered in my ear, I'm his guru. He's blind.
Oh,
no.
And no one else in the audience knew what he had told me, but I had realized that I just asked a blind person to read my cue cards on a microphone in front of the audience. And I have never wanted the stage to open up and swallow me whole more in my entire life. But hey, it was a really good lesson in like making a show accessible to all people, you know? Yes. So I learned from it, but oh my gosh, at that time, I just didn't anticipate it. It wasn't on my radar.
Nope.
I have to say, the guy and the whole team, they were such good sports about it. He was really strong. Like he was never, I don't think he ever felt shamed or embarrassed. Like he was all part of it. And thankfully the scene is really close to the end of the show. Yeah. And so as soon as the show was over, I just went and like, you know, entertain them for another hour. Personally, it was like, 100%. let's have a drink. Let's get through this. Let's be best friends. I'm so sorry, but thank you for like teaching me this lesson.
Yes,
absolutely.
Naked Wines gives you direct access to over 55 of Australia and New Zealand's best winemakers. They believe in connecting wine drinkers directly to these award-winning winemakers because it's better for everyone. Talented independent winemakers get the support and funding they need to make the best wine they've ever made. The wine drinkers who support them get exclusive access to those wines at discounted prices. Their mission is to change the way the whole wine industry works for the benefit of both the wine drinkers and the winemakers. Anyone can order from Naked's almost all Australian online range, but the best value kicks in when you sign up to be an Angel. Angel members are those who top up their accounts with $40 a month to create a stash to spend on wine when they feel like it. The top up helps fund the winemakers who work with Naked, and in return, Angels get to buy wine at a much lower price. Want to check them out? Use the code FWB, Friends with Benefits, and the password podcast.
or go to www.nakedwines.com.au/FWB for a $100 voucher for you to use anywhere on their site.
Welcome back to Friends with Benefits, the podcast hosted by Betty Bombshell and Tash York. It's your favorite backstage dressing room shenanigans with some of the best cabaret, burlesque, circus, and what the fuck are they doing? Performers from all around the world. We are very thrilled to have our extra special guest in the house. It's Karen from Bunnings!
Yay! I specifically referenced the what the fuck are you doing performer part of that intro.
Exactly.
For those of you playing at home.
Correct. Yes, 100%.
We fill all of those categories. Exactly,
to be honest,
right.
Yeah, exactly. True. I think anyone who's friends with us obviously does fit into that section. It makes sense.
I think a lot of people just say that to us, you and me, Tash. Just, what the fuck are they doing?
We're like, yeah, we're all the same, yeah. Right? And they're like, yeah, definitely. I'm just like,
yeah, you guys are doing pretty well. It's because you can't remember anyone's name, you know.
No! Oh, God, it sounds so bad. I can remember people's names. Oh, fuck.
No, you're very good at it. I'm, in fact, the one that can't. You're the one that can. But
I just can't remember specific moments because I'm a bad person after 10 p.m. Like, so that's just what's up.
I'd say before 10 p.m., but that's okay.
Yeah, but extra bad after.
Oh, it's like more, yep.
More, yeah, like a werewolf or something with the moon, but my personality after 10. Rare. Yeah, anyway, I don't know what that was. So, Karen, we have a very, very excellent segment on the podcast, and that is our favorite one.
Showbo secrets, but we're going to tell you that.
We would like to know your little tip, your showbo tip, a thing, a trick of the trade, something that only Karen from Finance does to get her through a gig, a little, you know, secret that no one may know.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, this is probably for, you know, the other performers out there. And it's not really a secret. I think it's something pretty obvious, but something that we needed to be reminded of every now and then is to, like, if you have a booking at like a bar, a party, whatever it is, just to remember that you are being booked not for that like 4-minute number that you're going to go there and perform. You're getting booked for being you. So they want you. Of course, you don't want to give, you know, you don't want to give too much of yourself ever. But if you're booked to like go to a club night and perform a spot number, you got to get there early. You got to have your shit together. You got to be the life of the party when you arrive. You got to entertain that booker backstage. You got to keep the people happy at the bar. You got to make whoever owns that venue love you. The party starts before you get there and well after you get off stage, you know? And that, for me, when I'm working with other entertainers and they kind of adhere to that little structure, they're like, oh, I mean, that's who you want to be friends with. That's who you want to book again. That's the dream to work with.
Yes, 100%. Yes, that is
such
like
a good showbo. Yeah. I love that.
You like that? I need to remind myself that sometimes because I'm guilty of not being that person.
Oh, especially when you're doing like four or five gigs in a night and you're like, and you're like, oh, start this again. Start, and you're like, fuck. Yeah. Like, but yeah, 100%. Like I get that during Fringes in particular. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired. And it's like, no, like this person hasn't seen you do the thing that you've just done before. You have to rock up as if you're
new.
Completely. Yep. Ow, my cat's biting my finger. You have to rock up. You have to rock up like you're completely fresh. Like that's not their prerogative. They've paid for you to do the thing. Like
totally. Someone also
they
told
want the full experience.
It was Raven that told me in my early days of performing that no matter like how much you think you did a terrible job on stage, when you come off, if someone like congratulates you or you know wants to talk about it, you never admit it. Like. Mm-mm. If you fell over and like cut your body in half and died, it was still
you
like,
never admit that.
It was like, oh, thank you so much. I loved being here. You know, this was a great night. I had so much fun.
It was
because no one wants to hear it. No one cares.
Speaking of beautiful, amazing feelings, there are some feelings that aren't all the time, that aren't all the time amazing that come with this profession. And sometimes there's moments of, oh, I just can't do this. And what am I doing? And why am I doing this? And I'm not enough. Have you ever had many moments of your inner saboteur taking over? And what is it that you do, Karen from finance, to pull yourself out of that hole and just keep on trucking?
My inner saboteur is taking over all the time.
it's, hey, what's up, me too? Yeah.
It's very few and far between that I don't feel that it isn't completely taken over. Mm-hmm. it's... I think we in the biz we call it imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. So that's a very familiar feeling. Yes. What do I do to not let it take over? I think that what helps me with that is to go maybe like inside myself, away from like the parties and the shows and the nightlife. Yeah. And that time is had like doing my makeup. Maybe if I can give myself that extra half an hour so that I'm not rushing through it. Sometimes, I mean, most of the time when you get to a gig, you are just like, it's go, 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 crazy, crazy, crazy. Everything's unorganized and wild. So if you can just have like a moment of calm before you go in and really just present yourself the best way that you know how, you can like, I think that makeup process of, you know, 2 hours in front of the mirror is like, I'm beautiful. I've got this. I can do this. Look at what I can create, because you don't have that feeling when you're at the show. And anyone that says they do is lying.
It's a liar.
Honey, they were hanging on for dear life.
Baby. By a thread.
Do you find it's worse when you're an MC versus when you're just there to do an act? Like, because you're an MC and you've got all the weight of the shoulders of everyone else, or is that just me?
Actually, I don't think it's just you, but I'm going to say the reverse. I actually feel like when I'm the MC of a show, I have more power over being my true self and like really being in control of things. I think it's when I'm not MCing, and it's because I rely on a backing track purely. You know, I don't sing, I don't dance. It's like if someone doesn't like a song I'm doing, I can't change it. It's like it goes for as long as it goes for. Yeah. There's nothing I can do about it.
Beautiful. Actually, Karen, I wanted to ask you a question that we didn't have on the list, but I'm just interested to know. I know I'm going to ask you something very terrifying. No, I just really want to know. In sort of, you know, however long you've been doing drag for, you've sort of seen the evolution of drag and how it's changed so dramatically and how it has become just a household thing now, which is wonderful. I mean, obviously in certain households, not all households, but how has that been for you to see it evolve and change so dramatically and so rapidly? How's that? What's sort of your take on it all?
Sure. That's a good question. I think it's so exhilarating and exciting because you're watching opportunities open up in front of you, left, right, and center, not necessarily for myself, but for, you know, drag entertainers all around the world. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think, and I think maybe like being myself for being a little bit older and maybe more mature for being able to see this, but I am cautious and a little bit like concerned about the people that are, you know, coming up in the drag scene, not having a full grasp, understanding and knowledge of what drag was before it was popular. And what made drag so fabulous in the beginning is the mystery behind it and the kookiness and the craziness. Like, it, what a weird thing to do. Like, it's like amazing, crazy kooks out there. Whereas now it's very much in the mainstream. It's very popular. It's very celebrated. If you take it for what you see it as on the surface only, it's going to die. It's going to disappear. Yeah. Whereas what I get really excited by whether they're new performers or old performers, are performers that you can just see they get it. You know, it's a silent thing that you feel as an audience member when you're watching this. Like, oh, this person. They get it. I don't know what it is, but they get it, you know?
That's the it thing. You don't know what it is, but they got it, you know?
They got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's always that and times a respect for the people past as well, like a respect for the art form and how it was made and who went through it to do the thing. Like, and that's for all of us, like burlesque, drag. I think that's why there's such an affinity between the two of them, because they were both things that were like literally illegal at certain points. And even like standing up on stage, being a cabaret like singer, being political and whatnot also was. And I think understanding where this fucking cool thing that you do comes from, and you honor that with respect and perform with that respect, I think as well is this, like, is part of the it, is part of that old world. Like, you're like, oh, that's an old world person, they get it, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think that for me, I can see that at a performer where it's like they haven't just like looked it up on YouTube and went like, how to drag, and you're like, no, stop.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because respecting the old ways doesn't mean that you like
have to do it.
You have to do the old ways, and that you have to be like, you know, an old school version. You just have to understand and respect it so that you can like pay homage to it in your own like spirituality as that kind of entertainer.
Beautiful. So we have a fun new segment of our podcast, and we like to call it the rapid fire questions
that aren't so rapid,
which
fire.
They're not rapid, and there's nothing rapid about them. No. But
it's a nice name though.
It's something to say. It's a catchy name. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, Karen, from finance, and I want you to just blurt out whatever, just whatever, really, whatever may come, all right?
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, Sarah.
Okay. Okay, so bloody rah. So, cabaret or burlesque?
Burlesque.
What's your middle name?
Owen. From.
Tequila?
From. It's, I'm a woman. It's from, Karen, from finance. Definitely not Richard Owen Chadwick. Government name.
Tequila or vodka?
Vodka.
Kids or no kids?
No kids, ever!
Right? They have no place in this world. Anyway, that's a whole other conversation. A kick in the shins or Trump?
A kick in the shins.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a future.
What am I saying? Of course a kick in the shins, yes.
Glue gun or sewing?
Sewing.
Who is trashier, Tash or Betty?
Tash.
Oh! Yes!
I think I'm right.
Yes,
I think
yes, I'm right.
Yes, yes, yes.
Honestly.
Yes.
Fucking case in point right there. There you go. Every time it's like, Betty? I'm like, okay.
No, I feel right. Like you are very like, I'm scared of you.
Yeah. No one's scared of me.
Everyone's terrified.
No one's terrified of me. I'm just like the like, hey, what's up? I'm your mum in the corner who had too many drinks at fucking your birthday party.
Everyone says I'm really intimidating, but I think it's because I never wear my glasses and I have to squint all the time. So I just feel
that
like
is 100% it. 100%.
Okay, up or down?
Down.
What's your coffee order?
Oh, a 3-quarter latte.
Oh, that was really cute. I liked that. That was really sweet. Red or white wine?
white wine.
Oh, really?
Yes, ma'am.
Controversial.
I want it cold and I want it classy.
Oh, crispy. I like it. Boxes or briefs?
Box. No, briefs. Oh, my God. Briefs. Absolutely. Briefs.
Okay, yeah. G-string or boy leg?
Boy leg.
Lacy or cotton?
Cotton. I'm a practical bitch.
It's important. No, you're ready. You know, you're ready to go.
It's really
ready.
Nice.
It is, actually. No, that makes sense. That does check out. Total sexual encounters at Fringe this year.
Oh, zero.
Oh, bummer. Les Mis or Miss Saigon?
Oh, Les Mis all the time. I have a Cosette tattoo on my left arm here. I wish I could show you, but it's a podcast. Les Mis. I love it.
100%. Yes, Les Mis. A child playing recorder for 7 years or Trump?
Oh, gosh.
I know.
A child playing recorder for 7 years.
What a martyr!
You got to do it. You fucking knows. All right, say something cool.
Gay sex. Anal. Woo.
Correct.
What is wind?
Wind is beneath me.
Whoosh. Whoosh. I was just about.
Oh,
Tash.
My God.
Yeah. All right, this is our last question. The name of your next solo show that will never make it on stage.
Well, it feels like the one I've been working on for the last 6 months, to be honest.
So real.
Oh, and I haven't given it a name for that exact purpose. you can edit this out, but it's like naming a child before you give it an abortion, you know? Like, it's not to be done.
It shan't be done. I love it.
You can leave that in if you want. You choose.
We probably will. Gorge, that was rapid fire questions. You did so well.
Yay.
Rapid.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew, took 17 minutes. That's fine.
That was honestly the most rapid that it's ever gone.
It actually really is. You nailed it. Yeah.
Thank you so much. People always say that if anything, I'm quick.
Quick with the finance. Quick.
Yes.
Like that,
no, absolutely. Yeah. You know, quarter. Fucking.
Oh, man, I got to do my fucking taxes. I can't handle it.
No, anyway. Just ignore it. Doesn't matter.
It's been 5 years. It's been eight. All right, I did it.
84 years.
They're gonna put me in jail, but it's fine. Anyway, now we're here for the promo corner, Karen from finance. Do you have anything that you'd like to promo?
Anything that I would like to promo? Well,
you got merch, you got shows. What do you got?
It's completely embargoed until the program comes out. But what even is an embargo in COVID-19?
Who knows?
Who knows? So don't dob me in, but do stream out of office live as part of Melbourne Fringe Digital November Extravaganza.
Yay! I love it.
How fun.
We will post those links on our Facebook page as well so people can find it super easy.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing it at the actual common rooms and whatnot for the situation, or are you doing it from your home? What's the deal?
Well, I was lucky enough to have had the show professionally filmed at Perth, at Fringe World in Perth earlier in the year. Four different cameras, four mics, all the viewing pleasures, multimedia. Yes, it was the one night of my like 25 show season or something that I got like brutally harassed by an audience member. But somehow it has not managed to make it in. Like, you just can't tell. I don't know if I just handled it well or if it was edited really cleverly, but I was brutally harassed and like the police were called. It was like this whole...
Yes. I saw you after the show and you were like, great, I just had it really professionally filmed and fuck, I remember.
Oh, yeah, I spent a fortune on getting it filmed and it was like a Tuesday or something. It was wild. Anyway, it did get filmed and now it's going to be part of a digital Fringe Festival. Yes.
That's amazing.
Woo. So please stream it. Enjoy it.
Ciao. We'll post all the links, all the bits and pieces.
Thank you so much for being part of the podcast. We've had the absolute best time just chatting with you and debriefing and doing all the things. I wish we could be near you and cuddle you and about to be going on stage with you right now. It's just
I wish we so could wonderful. Cuddle and drink and do a bump and have a real good party together too. It's so fun. I'm gonna go and pour myself another bucket of wine. I'm gonna have some dinner and I'm gonna miss you dearly.
Well, it's been gorgeous to see your wonderful face. Pass love on to the family and have a big glass of wine for all of us, my love.
Yes, I will do. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much to anybody that is still listening. I adore you and I can't wait to see you again. It's been so fun. Thank you.
Thank you. No one's here, but that's all right.
No, doesn't matter. We're all fucking just talking to ourselves at this. I'm kidding. No, thank you so much for being part of Friends with Benefits, the podcast. My name is Tash York. This is the wonderful Miss Betty Bombshell, and you've been listening to Karen from Finance. Thank her so much, and we will see you on the internet.
Bye.
Hi, friends. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Friends with Benefits with our absolutely incredible guest, the one and only drag queen from corporate, Karen from Finance. If you'd like to see more about Karen, make sure you check her out on all the socials at Karen from Finance and also at her website. She's also got merch available on Merch Mother, so just look up Karen from Finance on there as well. Folks, if you've liked the show, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends about it. Share it around. We always love to get your questions at our email address, tashisonebutt@gmail.com. Yes, that is the real email address. We'll see you on the internet. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.